Much of Parshas Vayetze deals with the birth of the Yud Beis Shvatim. In fact, there is a medrash on the pasuk Vayikach Mayavne Hamokim. The Gemara in Chulin speaks about the pasuk Vayikach Mayavne Hamokim. There were several avonim that in the morning when Yaakov Avinu wakes up, so he says Vayikach Zeven Ashisamer Asher. So we took the one Evan. So the Ibn Ezra and some of the other Mefarshim say there isn't really any contradiction. It says Vayikach Mayavne Hamokim. It took one of the avonim. They say that he took all of the avonim. The Gemara considers it as if it's a contradiction. Did he take several avonim? Did he take one avonim? So the Gemara says he really took several avonim, and each one was fighting with the other one. Alay Anich Tzadik as Rosho. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the miracle to occur, and all of the avonim blended in together. And when he woke up in the morning, it was one avonim. So there is a medrash that suggests that they were Yud Beis Avonim. There were 12 avonim, and they all blended in. They melted in to become one, representing to Yaakov Avinu this idea that he's going to have Yud Beis Shvatim. And that's why Rashi keeps on quoting the Midrashim, that they knew in advance they were going to be Yud Beis Shvatim, and that's why Leah felt so bad for Rachel, that she's not even going to have two Shvatim. She'll only have one Shei, but she won't even have two Shvatim. She'll be less than the Shvachos. Somehow they all knew this in advance. So that's what this Medrash says, that this Nebuah was given to Yaakov Avinu on the occasion when he was running away from Esav on his way, when he took the Yud Beis Avonim. What is this supposed to represent, the Yud Beis Shvatim? So the Mishnah and Horius in the first Perek deals with the din of Par Halam Dover Shel Tzibur. There is a din if the Bez Nagodol made a mistake in Psak. We believe the Bez Nagodol can make a mistake in Psak, but not as great as the Pope, who's infallible. We hold that we're human beings, and everybody, Moshe Rabbeinu, can make a mistake himself. The Bez Nagodol can also. How often they made a mistake? Probably very rarely. There's a fellow now keeps on putting on the website that the Chazal, everything it says in the Gemara, everything is wrong. Everything in Tanakh is wrong. Everything, all science in the Gemara, all science in Tanakh is wrong. It's a little ridiculous. Everything is wrong. Once in a while, there's something that's problematic. Not that everything is wrong. So once in a million years, you have an institution, a Par Halam Dover Shel Tzibur. I don't know if Lamaisa they ever brought such a Par Halam Dover Shel Tzibur. So there is such a din on the books in the Chumash that if the Bez Nagodol made a mistake in Psak in something in the area of Kores, and Roy Patzibur, who lives in Eretz Yisrael, violated this Aver because of the mistake in Psak of the Bez Nagodol. So instead of requiring that each and every individual person should bring a Korban Chatos, we require of the Bez Nagodol they should bring a Par Halam Dover Shel Tzibur, and everybody gets the Kaporim. So the Mishnah has in the first Perek in Horius, that's what the Daf Yomi people are learning, well, just learned. They just ran through the first Perek in Horius, so they were just learning this. So the Mishnah is in the first Perek, present a Machlokes HaTanai. What about one Shevet? Is Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol, or Shevet Echad is not Ikri Kohol? So the Mishnah assumes that each one of the Yud Beis Shvatim had its own Bez Nagodol. Ramban HaChumash discusses this. He says, where did the Tanaim get such an idea from, that every Shevet should have its own Bez Nagodol? So he says, that's what it says, Shoftim Shotit Lecha Lishvatecha, B'chol Sherecha Lishvatecha, L'chol Shevet V'Shevet. What does it mean, L'chol Shevet V'Shevet? If you mean B'chol Ir V'Ir, it says, Shoftim Shotit Lecha B'chol Sherecha Lishvatecha. In every city you need a Bezin. So what does it mean that every Shevet needs a Bezin? Every Shevet has many cities to it. So Tosfos says on that Gemara in Sanhedrin in the first Perek that if you have a city that's half in one Shevet, half in another Shevet, so that city needs two Batei Dinim. One Bezna for this side of the city, one Bezna for that side of the city, because this side of the city belongs to this Shevet and that side of the city belongs to the other Shevet. That's how Tosfos suggests. The Mefarshim on the Gemara find this Tosfos Pshat problematic, because in the end of Masechah Sanhedrin, towards the very end of the Masechta, there is a Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, where the Chol can mirachas l'shnei shvatim anat. When you divide Eretz Yisrael l'shvatim, and you're supposed to draw the border over here, and the border is going to cut through a city, does it make sense to cut through the middle of the city? So half of the city is going to belong to one Shevet, half of the city is going to belong to the other Shevet. Or do you say no? When you come to a city, you have to go either to the right or to the left. You don't cut through the middle of the city. So if one should assume Yerushalayim was the one city that was divided. Undivided Yerushalayim was always divided. It was always half was Shevet Yehuda, half was Shevet Binyamin. So Tosfos has that kasha. How can it be a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, where the Chol can mirachas l'shnei shvatim, Yerushalayim Tochiach. Yerushalayim was half in Shevet Yehuda, half in Shevet Binyam. Stey says that was an exception to the rule because Yerushalayim has a double status. It has to be the capital of Eretz Yisrael, and the government has to be from Malchus Beis David, from Yehuda, from Shevet Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda has to be the Malchus, and the Beis HaMikdash has to be Bechel Kishol Binyamin. That's what Yankov Avinu said when he gave the brachas to the children. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said in Mezos HaBracha, that the Mizbeach has to be Bechel Kishol Binyamin, Bechel Kishol Torif. Binyamin Zev Yitrov, that's called Bechel Kishol Torif. So, and Yerushalayim has to be both the Makam of the Beis HaMikdash and the capital city. Alpidin is the capital of Eretz Yisrael, the official capital of Eretz Yisrael. So Memele, Yerushalayim had to belong to two different Shvatim. It had, by definition, it had to be Nechlek Lishnei Shvatim. But the other cities, that's a Machlokes and the Gemara. So that's what they ask on Taisvis. How can Taisvis say that that's the Pshat and the Pasuk? Shofta Meshot Titlecha B'chol She'arecho Lishvatecha. Every city needs its own Bezdin. And every Shevet needs its own Bezdin. Means if one city is divided among two Shvatim, according to one opinion in Gemara, you're never going to have like that. Kasha is not such a strong kasha, because one can say the machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is bishas chalukas haaretz, when you're making the chaluka. So in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, there was sheva shekoshim and sheva shechukas. And when they're drawing the borders in the very outset of chalukas Eretz Yisrael, and there's a city there on where the border is supposed to go, does it make sense that the border line cuts through the city, or should you be careful to go to the right or to the left? Well, let's say you already drew the borders, and there was a city on one side, and then the city keeps on expanding bigger, 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 bigger. And now half the city is on one side in one shape, and half the city is on the other side. So that's not, the Gemara never said you can't have a city that's in two Shvatim. They have in the United States, there are cities like that. Originally, they drew the borders of the different Shvatim, of the 48 states, whatever, the 50 states. And then there was a city near the border, kept on expanding, expanding. So now half the city is on one, in one shape, and half the city is in the other shape. It's an Ishken Kasha. Anyway, but that's how Tosis reads the Gemara. So the Ramban says, no, that what the Pasuk means to say is, Shofta Meshotin Titlecha B'chol She'arecho, every city needs a Bezdin, and then Lishvatech, every Shevet needs a Bezdin HaGadol of the Shevet, and that's what it says in the first parak in Hoirias, that every Shevet had its own Bezdin HaGadol. So that's a Machlekes HaTanoim, whether the din of Par Halam Dovah Shel Tzibur applies, if the Bezdin HaGadol of that Shevet paskin that a certain Isur Koris is mutter by mistake, they were mata something, an error, and then the Roiva Tzibur of that Shevet violated that Isur Koris. With that Bezdin HaGadol bring Par Halam Dovah Shel Tzibur. That's a Machlekes HaTanoim. Rabban Chumash is not sure how many members this Bezdin HaGadol of the Shevet is supposed to have. It's supposed to have 23, or it's supposed to have 71. 71 is the Bezdin HaGadol in Yerushalayim. So he's not sure. This is supposed to be the Bezdin HaGadol of the Shevet. It's also supposed to be 71. Or should I say no? That's reserved for the Bezdin HaGadol in Yerushalayim. That's officially Bezdin HaGadol for all of the Shvatim. Maybe this one is only 23. Remember Rav Soloveitchik, when he was discussing this, he thought it didn't make sense to say 23. He thought, Asvar no senes, that how can it be a Supreme Court higher authority than the other, but the dinim, if they're all 23, and they're 23, so why are they higher than the others? He thought it has to be 71. But the Ramban writes he's not so sure. So this institution of Shvatim plays a role over here in Halacha. There's a concept of the Bezdin HaGadol of the Shevet, that all the members of that Shevet are kafuf to listen to the psalkim of that Bezdin HaGadol. The Bezdin HaGadol should be shalim, their psak is binding on everybody. But we don't have to bring every shayla up to the Bezdin HaGadol in Yerushalayim. It says in the Chumash, the only time the kamtov yalis al hamakom, the only time you go to the Bezdin HaGadol is if you have a machlokes in town. Dibrei ribis bisharecha, it's a machlokes and it's causing friction, and you can't resolve and you want to make peace. And then you go to the Bezdin HaGadol. Let's say in one city they follow one sheet, the other city they follow the other sheet. So you don't go to the Bezdin HaGadol. You leave it like that. In Europe they always had like that. In one community they follow their rabbi. The other community, they followed their rabbi. They didn't always call Rabbi Chaim Oizer on every shayla and have him paskan on everything. And there would be a machlekes, and it wouldn't be able to be resolved. Then they would ask the Gedolei Hador.
Soloveitchik felt that
Bezdin HaGadol in Yerushalayim was 71. Machlekes, 70 or 70. He thought the Bezdin Shalash, Bezdin HaGadol of the Shevet, he thought it makes more sense that it should be 71.
But then you have the same problem. How can that based in a God on Yerushalayim binding on them?
I don't know.
According to that Yerushalayim was well not with Ali Shvat, that was the Makam of Mikdash still divided up.
Taisus says that Kasha, that there is a machloikis, and we assume la lochi b'shalayim loynis chalka l'shvatim. When Yeshua ben Nun divided Eretz Yisrael, he never divided Yerushalayim. So what do we mean when we say that half of Yerushalayim was Shevet Binyamin, half of Yerushalayim was Shevet Yehuda? It was never divided l'shvatim. That's Taisus' Kasha. So Taisus has a Kasha that half of the Mizbech was missing because you're not allowed to have any inch of the Mizbech b'chelka shel Yehuda. So that's what the Mizbech was missing. So he asked the Kasha, but if Lonis Chalka L'Shvatim, so what are we talking about? So Tosis takes the Gemara literally. Lonis Chalka L'Shvatim means it was never divided among the Shvatim. Rav Soloveitchik said, upshot, which I printed in his name. So someone from Torah Vadas printed a whole about Torah that everything that I wrote is wrong because Rav Soloveitchik said it. Then after he printed it, then he found out that it's attributed to Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Velvela Soloveitchik, then it became kosher all of a sudden. Okay. So Rav Soloveitchik said, the family pshat apparently, that the two different topics about when you divide Eretz Yisrael, so first you divide Eretz Yisrael, this is called Chelka Shel Yehuda, that's called Chelka Shel Binyamin, that's called Chelka Shel Yisachar, that's an Issa the Heter. We label every share in Eretz Yisrael, every land as a different thing. Then there's a second step in Chalukas Haaretz that we give the ownership to that Shevet. So that's the machloikas hatanaim, whether Yerushalayim was neschalka, this is called chelka shel Binyamin, that's called chelka shel Yehuda. The question is the second step, did they give the ownership to Shevet Yehuda or not? So that we pass in la'alocha, Yerushalayim is lo neschalka l'shvatim and the dini mamanis. But in the Issa v'Heter, as far as the chalukas, Eretz Yisrael was considered the gemara of the kibush. The din is that Eretz Yisrael didn't get its full kedusha with respect to Mitzvah Satluyas Baritz until the 14 years, till Sheva Shekovshu and Sheva Shechilku. Because the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael, the first time around, the days of Yeshua ben Nun, the Mekadosh was the Kibush, and the Kibush wasn't completed until you had a Chalukah. You had to have a Chalukah, Lishvatim, and then a Mishpachas, and then Liyachidim. So that took 7 years. So after the Gemara of the Kibush, that says, after the 14 years were up, after the Chalukah, the Shvatim and the Mishpachas and then the Yechidim, so then Eretz Yisrael was endowed with Kedusha. So that's what the Achronim are bothered with the Kasha. So Yerushalayim doesn't have Kedusha Saaretz. Yerushalayim is Chutz Laaretz. It never got Kedusha because it never had a Chalukah L'Shvatim. It has to have a Chalukah L'Shvatim and the Mishpachas and the Yechidim. So how can it be if Yerushalayim is Lanas Chalukah L'Shvatim? So all of Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha except for Yerushalayim. Ratzvi Pesach Frank has a whole discussion of this Kasha. So that's the Teretz that the Soloveitchik family assumes that Avad was Neschalka L'Shvatim as far as the Gemara HaKibush is concerned. This was called Chelka Shal Yehud and that was called Chelka Shal Binyamin. But in Dini Maminus it wasn't given over. So the Gemara HaKibush was there. Once they declared this is Chelka Shal Yehud, that's Chelka Shal Binyamin, that was the Gemara of the Kibush. And even Yerushalayim had the Kedusha Sa'aretz. But the Chaluk and Dini Maminus, that's what we assume, like the opinion that Yerushalayim was never Neschalka L'Shvatim. So the din requires that we should have Yud Beis Shvatim. It's halacha. Yaakov Avinu gives the brachas, Ish Isha Sheke Vechase Berachais, and he gives the brachas to each one of the Shvatim. And Moshe Rabbeinu gives the brachas to each one of the Shvatim. Every Shevet is supposed to represent a different approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Elovi Eda Dirili Kimchai. All the different approaches are acceptable. The Baal HaTanya quotes a passage from the Zohar that when Yitzchak Avinu wanted to give the blessing to Esav, so he requests of him, Tzeh HaSodah V'tzudu Litzoyd V'aseh Li Matamim. He should make a variety of macholim for him. So the Zohar makes a comment, why matamim? He's still hungry, so give him another piece of steak. Still hungry, give him 3 pieces of steak. Why does anybody eat? Why do we have kugel and sholent and soup and gefilte fish and vegetable salad and another whole bunch of cookles and a whole bunch of salads? If he's still hungry, eat another piece of chicken, eat another piece of chicken, another piece of chicken. The answer is people enjoy variety. So just like Yitzchak Avinu enjoys variety, aseli matamim in the plural, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also appreciates variety. Variety is the spice of life, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo also appreciates variety. And that's the whole concept of Eilu V'Eilu Divrei L'Kimchayim. You have the Agadah in the Gemara in Menachos that when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai and the Ribbono Shel Olam was giving him the Torah, Ribbono Shel Olam was about to give him the Torah, so the Ribbono Shel Olam had the whole Torah written down. That's the version that the Gemara says. We usually assume that during the 40 years of traveling in the Midbar, Kodesh Baruch is dictating the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Gemara presents that episode a little differently. It doesn't necessarily have to be taken literally, that the Ribbono Shel Olam had a Sefer Torah on Har Sinai, and he's about to give it to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, "No, give me the Sefer Torah already." Ribbono Shel Olam says, "Just a minute, I have to add on some chachkalach. He has to add on the tagim." So he's adding tagim, 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 tagim. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "What do you need the tagim for? It's good the way it is. Give it to me now." So he says, "No, there's going to be a big Talmud Chacham many years from now. His name is going to be Rabbi Akiva. He's going to derive dinim from all these tagim." The Gemara says, "Rabbi Akiva was derish al kol kotz v'kotz on every tag tili tilim shel aloch." So finally, Ribbono Shel Olam finished all the tagim, gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he brought down the Torah. So what are these drushes? What are the many, many tili tilim, the tons, the bundles of halachas that Rabbi Akiva darshan on the tagim? We don't have one mentioned in all of the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't quote one drusha of Rabbi Akiva. Apparently his opinion was not accepted. We don't darshan the tagim. So if his opinion is not accepted, so what did Ribbono Shel Olam waste his time to put the tagim in? Why did he hold up Moshe Rabbeinu coming down from Har Sinai with the Sefer Torah? The answer is that Eilu Devilu Kimchai. All the drachim, there are not all the drachim in the world are correct. There's more than one correct approach to halacha, and there's a variety of approaches that are correct. Not everything is correct. Rabbi Kiva's approach was one of those. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in tagim that there should be a possibility to darshan like Rabbi Akiva. We happen not to accept that, so the Gemara never mentions any of the drushes of Rabbi Akiva. But that's exactly the idea of. We have a halacha that Eretz Yisrael only has the full Kedusha Sa'aretz when you have Kol Yoshveho Oleho, when you have all of the Shvatim living in Eretz Yisrael. That's the pasuk that appears on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. It says, Bayovil and Parshas Bahar, Bekarasa Dror Bo'aretz L'chol Yoshveho. So in English it says, and thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. The Liberty Bell was originally paid for by the Jewish community of Pennsylvania. It was made in Europe, and it was brought by boat, and it broke on the boat, I think. And originally it was going to represent the freedom of the state of Pennsylvania. And then the 13 colonies at that time decided to accept it as a representative of freedom in America. And they quoted that pasuk, "Krosim dror ba'aretz l'chol yeshveho." The pasuk means that the Eved Ibri goes free on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. It doesn't mean freedom. It's a nice idea. Freedom is a wonderful mila. But the pasuk happens to be talking about the drawer for the Eved Ivri. The Eved K'nayin is L'olam Hem Tavoidim. And the Eved Ivri goes free, even if it's before the end of 6 years, before Sheish, Eved Ivri goes free when it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. So that pasuk, Anash should proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants, what do you mean? What do you mean? Drawer ba'aretz, that Soros Chosis L'Baleim B'Yovel. If I sold the field to someone else, if I had a Soros that was a Ste'achuza, I got a Birusha from my father, grandfather, great-grandfather, all the way back to the days of Yeshua ben Nun, and then I sold it to a Lakeach. So when it comes, Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, it goes back to the original owner, to me. It reverts back to become a Stei Achuzah. Instead of being a Stei Mikna, it reverts back to become a Stei Achuzah. So that's a cross from Dror Ba'aretz. And then L'chol Yoshveho, to all its inhabitants, that the Eved Ivri goes free when it comes, Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, the beginning of the Yovel year. So what does it mean, L'chol Yoshveho, all those who live in Eretz Yisrael? Eved Ivri goes free if he lives in Chutz La'aretz also. The din of Soros Chosis Lebaleim is only in Eretz Yisrael. Eved Ivri goes free is even if he lives in Chutz La'aretz, even if he's an Ebena. You can have an Eved Ivri in Chutz La'aretz. So why does it say L'chol Yoshveho? So the Gemara says in the end of Erchin, only Bizman Shekol Yoshveho Aleho, that the only time you have Bizman Shayovel Noig Ba'aretz, and it's Yovel is Noig B'chutz La'aretz. If it's not Noig Ba'aretz, it's not Noig B'chutz La'aretz. So the din of Yovel only applies in Eretz Yisrael if you have Kol Yoshveho Aleho. What does it mean, Kol Yoshveho Aleho? So recently in the newspapers, the last couple of years, the Anglo-Jewish newspapers, they keep on writing that so far only less than 50% of the world Jewish population lives in Eretz Yisrael. And that's why you're lacking Kol Yoshveho Aleho, and that's why we don't observe Yovel at all. And that's why we assume the Tanoim have a machlekes, Rebbe and the Chachamim in the Sifra, in the beginning of Parshas Behar. And the Gemara alludes to it, the Gemara refers to it, the Gemara never quotes the whole Brisa, Rashi quotes it. But the Gemara alludes to this machlekes Rabbi Nachachamim. Is there a din that you have to observe Shemitah de'araisa even if you know in advance that it cannot lead up to Yovel? Because it says every 7 years is Shemitah. Then it says Yovel is Kol Yashvehu Aleho. Shemitah maybe does need Kol Yashvehu Aleho. What do you say? No, that it's self-understood. That you only are obligated ben HaTorah to observe Shemitah if you know in advance it may possibly lead up, it can lead up to Yovel. But if you know you don't have Kol Yashvehu Aleho, then even the observance of Shemitah is only Midirabban. So the Pashtus is that we paskin the Gemara, the first daf in Moed Katan, and in the middle of Gittin, daf Lamed Vav. The Pashtus is that we paskin that Shemitah Bezman Hazeh is only the Rabbanah. Because we know in advance that the Shemitah cannot lead up to Yovel. We don't have Yovel today because we're lacking Kol Yashveh HaLeh. So because Shemitah is only the Rabbanah, so that's why the Gedolim in the 1600s came up with this whole idea of a Hetem Echira. That when the laws of Shemitah, the Yovel, and Trumas and Maris, Sam and HaTorah, so it applies even if the farm belongs to a non-Jew. And Kenya the Nochri, it's a Gemara in Gittin, the last daf in Perak HaShalech, we put a Machlekes and we Paskin. And Kenya the Nochri, Leretz Yisrael, the Havkiya Miyad Mitzvah Satliyaz Baretz. Even if you sell a farm to a non-Jew, the Kedusha Saretz is complete and the laws of Trumas and Maisra still have to be observed. But if the Gemara says in Surya, if one should assume that Kedusha Surya is only by the Rabbanan, so the whole obligation to observe Shemitah is only by the Rabbanan there. So then the Gemara says, Yesh Kinyan Lenochri Lahavkiya. If a non-Jew will buy the farm in Surya, so then you won't have to observe the laws of Shemitah there. So that's what the Gedolim in the 1600s came up with this idea of the Heta Mechira, that if you sell a farm in Eretz Yisrael, because it was very hard to observe Shemitah, it's always very hard. Today it's also hard. So if you sell a farm to a non-Jew, and the whole din of Shemitah is only by the Rabbanan to begin with, so then there's a Heta Mechira. That's what they call a Heta Mechira. So in the newspapers, they've been writing the last couple of years that as soon as the percentage is going to change, more and more Jews are moving to Eretz Yisrael. Once we're going to cross the point that you'll have more than 50% of the world Jewish population will be living in Eretz Yisrael, then you'll have Kol Yashveh Aleho, then you'll have to observe Yovel, and then Shemitah will become the Reis, and then there won't be any longer any Heta Mechira. There won't be anything to discuss. Like this, there's what to discuss, whether there's a Heta Mechira or not. But if Shemitah will become deraisa, there won't be anything to discuss. So the truth of the matter is that this is not correct. Kol Yashveh Aleho is not decided by the newspapers. It's not decided by 51% of the world Jewish population. That Gemara that they're quoting, the one at the end of Erchin, says Kol Yashveh Aleho requires, Tosis and Gittin holds you don't need 51%. If you have representatives of all of the Yud B'Shvatim, is also good. That's what Tosis quotes the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam thinks that Yovel was Noig Bizman by Sheni. It's clear the overwhelming majority of the world Jewish population did not live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rabbeinu Tam claims that's not what it means Kol Yashveh Aleho. All it means is that you have representatives of Kol Yashveh of all of the Shvatim. And the Psukim say, when they came back to Eretz Yisrael from Golas Bavel, and it says there in Ezra and Nechem, when they came back, so it says exactly how many thousands of people there were from every Shevet. So it was known who belonged to what Shevet. So Tosfos holds that's called Kol Yashveh Halel. So we usually assume, not like that, Rabbi Natan, we usually assume that by Sheni period was not called Kol Yashveh Halel because you need, in addition to having representatives of every Shevet, in addition to that, you have to have at least 51% of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael. But you have to have also, you have to know who belongs to which Shevet. And the Gemara says, the Shvatim have to be living separately. Shevet Binyamin is living over here in Eretz Binyamin. Shevet Yehud is living here, Shevet Yisach is living there. Today, nobody knows what Shevet they belong to. The Chalaps know that they're from the Malchus Beis David, so they're from Shevet Yehud, okay? And the Kohanim and the Levim know that they're from Shevet Levi, okay? And those who are descendants of the Bnei Yisachar know that they're from Shevet Yisachar, okay? That the Bnei Yisachar called the Sefer with that name because he was a Talmud of Chassidus Rebbe. He himself became a Chassidus Rebbe. So his Rebbe told him he's from Shevet Yisachar. He told him Baruch HaKadosh. So he writes, he's from the Bnei Yisachar. Okay. So whoever is a descendant from Bnei Yisachar knows Shevet Yisachar. But no one else knows what Shevet they're from. So that's not sufficient. How are they going to ever find out in the future what Shevet they belong to? That says in Sefer Ezra. It says, V'yoshem mitzaref u'mitaher. There's going to be Eliyahu HaNavi. He's going to come. He's going to be miyachas everyone. He's going to say who belongs to what Shevet. And that's necessary. That's crucial in order to have Kol Yashveh HaLeho. It's not sufficient just to have 51% of the world Jewish population. You have to have each one of the Shvatim represented because the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is only completed, you can have an obligation of Trumas and Mises without having the full Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. In order to have the full Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, in order to observe the laws of Yovel, you have to have Kol Yoshevei Ona. When you have Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael, that's Mashlim, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is emptied out. Klal Yisrael is not living there. So the Kedusha is incomplete. There's a Gemara in the end of Bava Basra. Gemara says there was a Machlokes Bishamah and Yisilo. The Mishnais had dinim Nafala Bais Olav Aloviv, Olav Alimo. Two people were killed in an accident, and we don't know who died first. These dinim were relevant in the Second World War. The Nazis killed a lot of Jews. You don't know who died first. If this person died first, the Yerusha goes that direction. If that person died first, the Yerusha goes in that direction. So the Mishnais had a lot of money in banks, and then the Nazis killed everybody, and then the Shaila, those who survived, who's entitled to get the Yerusha? So the dinim in the Mishnais, who's considered the Muchzak on the moment? So the Gemara says, there's one Mishnah in the end of Bava Basra, there's Machlekes Bisham and Beisilo. So we pass them like Beisilo. Okay. And then there's a Machlekes within Beisilo. How do you read the words of Beisilo? Hanechosim Becheskosam. The Muchzak keeps it. So the Gemara has a Machlekes. Who's the Muchzak? So one of the Amoraim originally lived in Bavel, and then he moved to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, when he lived in Bavel, he gave one pshat to the Mishnah. After he moved to Eretz Yisrael, Avira to Eretz Yisrael, Machkim, he became smarter, and then he understood that pshat was different. So the Rashbam and the Rishonim say over there, why is Avira to Eretz Yisrael, Machkim? So they quote from the other Gemara in Ksubis, that the Talmid HaChachamim in Eretz Yisrael know how to learn much better than the Rabbanim and Chutz Lars. That's a simple pshat in the Gemara. So on one occasion I visited the Nazir in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook had a Talmud who was Rav David HaKoyim, Rabbi Asher Yoshev Cohen's father, Rabbi Gorin's father-in-law. Rabbi Gorin married the daughter of the Nazir. The Nazir was trying to convince me I should become a vegetarian. It says in Shulchan Aruch, whoever studies Kabbalah, I don't study Kabbalah, whoever studies Kabbalah, you have to have the intelligence of a 40-year-old to study Kabbalah. So when I have that intelligence, I'll study Kabbalah. So one who studies Kabbalah is supposed to become a vegetarian. The Vilna Gaon was a strict vegetarian. He wouldn't eat eggs or milk or cheese or fish, anything menachai. Unless on days when you don't say Tachnun. I'm a Shchodesh in Shabbos and Yontek. But on days when you say Tachnun, anybody who studies Kabbalah is supposed to be a strict vegetarian. So the Nozer studied Kabbalah, so he was a vegetarian. So he was telling me I should become a vegetarian. And when he married his daughter off to Rabbi Gorin, everything at the wedding was vegetarian, and his wife will show my wife how you can make imitation liver that tastes exactly like liver. It'll taste exactly like flesh, part of the flesh. Okay. So I remember on that occasion, he asked my wife, does she study Gemara? So she said, no. Does she study Gemara? He says, no. So he says, he wanted to ask her, where does it say Avira Deret Yisrael Machkim? So I start to think. I said, I don't remember where it says it. So he says, no, he doesn't believe me. He says, he's only asking my wife whether she knows. He doesn't believe me that I don't remember. Anyway, so he tells her, he reminds us where it says it. It's in Bava Basra, the end of Bava Basra, on the Mishnah, in Perek Mishameis, where Beisil say Hanuchasim Echazkosam. And one of the Amoraim, Rab Zera, when he lived in Babel, he gave one pshat. When he moved to Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael Machkim, so he came up with the correct pshat. So he said he heard from Rav Kook that it doesn't necessarily mean the way the Rashbam and all the Rishonim say, that the Talmid HaChachamim in Eretz Yisrael have a better way to learn. He said, no, that din that he said, well, he would never dream of when he lived in Chutz Lords. When he lived in Chutz Lords, he thought, Nechasim Echaz Kosim, whoever's holding on to the moment is the Muchzak. And he came to Eretz Yisrael and he saw the geography. He went on a tour. And they told him, this is where Shevet Zvulun lived, and this is where Shevet Yisachar lived. So it dawned upon him that there's such a concept as Hol v'huchzuko nachlo lo osa ha-shevet. There's such a thing as cheskas ha-shevet. Originally, he didn't realize that. The Mishnah is talking about a situation, the man married a woman there from two different shvatim, and the wife died, and it's a shaila who died first. If the wife died first, then the husband gets the Yerusha. The husband died first, then the wife dies, so the husband doesn't yarshim bekever the wife. Then the nechasim go to her family. So this Rab Zera, after he went to Eretz Yisrael, Avira Deretz Yisrael Machkim, when he went around touring in Eretz Yisrael, and he saw that Eretz Yisrael was Nizchalka L'Shvatim, we heard about it, we saw in Chumash, but he never absorbed it. So when he saw that there's such a concept, so then he came up with a pshat and a mishnah that the wife's shevet is muchzak on these nechasim. Hol v'huchzak on achla lo'osa shevet. It's not that everything you learn in Eretz Yisrael you learn better. This concept of huchzak on achla lo'osa shevet, this didn't occur to him because man, he lived in Bavel. This was his suggestion. Anyway, it's an inyan. The Yud Beis Shvatim is an inyan. That's the inyan of Eilu v'Eilu Divri Elikim Chayim. The Magen Avraham quotes a lot from the Arizal. Every so often he quotes something from the Arizal. So he quotes a little bit of a passage. The Arizal has a whole paragraph on this. That it says in the end of Yecheskel, Asidlova, Yerushalayim will have a wall surrounding it for the purpose of protection. And the wall will have 13 gates, 13 shorim in order to enter Yerushalayim. And one will be Sharuvin, Sharshimin, Sharyehuda, Sharzvulin, and so on. Whoever knows what shevet he belongs to will enter Yerushalayim through that shar. And then there's going to be a 13th shar that's known as the Shar HaKolol, the miscellaneous shar. So whoever is a ger, whoever doesn't know what shevet he belongs to, can go through that shar. So this represents entering Yerushalayim means a way to approach the Beis HaMikdash, a way to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are 13 different drachim and avodas Hashem. And Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Whatever derech you go through, however you enter Yerushalayim, you're going to end up in the Beis HaMikdash. And they're all valid. So then the Arizal added on that there are 13 nuschos hatfilah. Each nusach hatfilah corresponds to that shevet. So whoever knows what shevet he belongs to should daven with that nusach hatfilah. That's tailor-made to his shorish neshama. And then there's a 13th nusach, that's the miscellaneous nusach, that's for anybody and everybody. And the punchline of the Varte is that that's the nusach hari. The Ari speaking, so he said, that's the Nusach Ari, is the Shar HaKol. The Balatanya Siddur is the Nusach Ari. So there's a sefer that's called Shar HaKolol to explain what the Nusach Ari, what the Nusach of the Balatanya is based on. So that's in the Hakdomah to the sefer, Shar HaKolol. The Shar HaKolol was written by the author of the Kavanoki. Kavanoki is a sefer that all the Rabbanim who do Gittin, they all know the Kavanoki has step by step how to do a Siddur HaGet. So everybody uses it. It happened to have been written by a Lubavitcher Talmud Chochem in Europe years ago. So everybody uses that sefer. So the same author of the Kavanaki also wrote this Shar HaKolol, which is the commentary on the Nusach Ari. So the first page in the Shar HaKolol, he gives you why he called the Shar HaKolol, based on this passage of the Magen Avraham, where he quotes this from the Arizal. So this is supposed to be the idea of the Yud Beis, this 12 stones that melted in and blended in to become one. There's supposed to be different approaches to Avodas Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch appreciates variety as well. It gets boring. Everybody's going to dress exactly the same way, the same black hat and the same kapot and everything, the same color beard and everything going to do Avodas Hashem. Rabbanu Shalom is bored. So he wants variety also. The Rabbanu Shalom Gemara has a lashon. HaKadosh Baruch created people. Each one has a different parts of panim. Kishem shib parts of fame, meinim damim zelazah, kach deaseh, meinim damim zelazah. Everyone has a different way of thinking. No two people think the same. No one is a clone. No, not yet. No one is a clone of anybody else. Everybody thinks differently. And when you do the mitzvahs, everybody does a mitzvah with a different twist, with a different kavanah. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to introduce personal kavanahs into the mitzvahs. The longest medrash rabbah of all is the medrash rabbah on Parshas Nosoi. When the Chumash mentions the Yud Beis Nesiyim brought on the first 12 days of Chodesh Nissan, they brought the Korbanos L'Chanukas HaMishkan, so they brought exactly the same Korban, Kafachas HaSaros HaHom, Le'oktaros Parecho, Ad Ben Bokor, every day laying exactly the same thing. That's the longest Medrash Rabbah, goes into long Arichas, what were the Kavanos of each one of the Nesiyim. So each day the Medrash Rabbah has totally different Kavanos. The first Nasi on the first day brought, they were told to bring these Karbanas, they brought exactly the same. Each one had totally different Karbanas. The Karbanas represented something else to each one. Then the second day, third day, every day something different. So we all do the same mitzvahs. You have to do the mitzvahs the same way. But still, each one has his own Karbana, and that's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be, each one is supposed to think differently. Parts of fame, made him diamonds, others out, that's the way the Rabbanu Shalom wants it. And they say, "Menim Daimiz Alazeh." The Baruch Shalom wants each person to be unique. The pasuk says, "Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad." So there are different ways how to translate the pasuk. So Rashi translates, "Shema Yisrael Hashem Shehu Achshav Elokeinu." All the nations of the world will accept Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Asid Lava. Hashem Elokeinu Achshav Yiyah B'Asid Lava Hashem Echad. The Rambam learns Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the unity of God. There's only one God as opposed to of the Avodah Zarah who believe in the Trinity, or others believe in more than the Trinity of God of good, of God of evil, of God of night, of God of day, whatever. All the of the Avodah Zarah, they believe in more than one God. We believe Hashem Echad is only one God. And then there's a third pshat. The Gemara in the beginning of Chagiga, Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, seems to have a totally third pshat. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Echad means miyuchad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique, there's nothing like him. So in Mele, there's only one God. Mele, if there's more than one God, so he wouldn't be unique. So part of the uniqueness is that there's only one God. Rav Soloveitchik said that the meaning by Lubavitch is that at the end of the Seder, they don't sing Echad Miyodea. Why not? So he says, when you say Echad Miyodea, Echad Elokeinu Shebashamayim Avarets, you say 1, 2, 3, 4, you go all the way till 13. So you're translating Hashem Echad as one God. That's how the Rambam translates. The unity of God, there's only one God. So Lubavitch felt that that's not the pshat. Hashem Echad doesn't, there's only one God. Yeah, because God is unique. The word Hashem Echad, the Gemara in Chagiga says, means Atem asisuni chati v'achas bo'ilam. You say Hashem Echad, I'm unique. V'ane yaseh eschem chati v'achas bo'ilam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, B'amad Yisrael, mikam chesol go'echad bo'aretz. The Jewish people are unique. So the Gemara there understands that Hashem Echad means Atem asisuni chati v'achas. You're declaring that I am unique. So because they didn't like this pshat, Hashem Echad, that it doesn't mean that there's one God. There is only one God because God is unique. So that's why they didn't want to sing, that's why they didn't want to say Echad Miyodea, because the assumption of Echad Miyodea is that you're translating the Pasuk that there's one God. So what the Pasuk really means is that God is unique. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Behalachta Bidracha, we were all created by Tzelem Elokim, and we should all preserve that Tzelem Elokim by, we already have the Tzelem Elokim within us. We were born with Tzelem Elokim, so we should preserve it by acting in such a fashion that corresponds to the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique, each human being should be unique. No one should imitate anyone else. Everyone should observe all the mitzvahs of Torah. But to be different, each person is supposed to be a different style. You have in the Gemara, the Talmidim asked different Tanoim and different Amoraim, but Meher Rachta Yomim. So each one says a different Midas Chassidus that he has. So there's a Sefer Charedim. Sefer Charedim was written late Rishonim, early Achronim, the 1500s. So in the Sefer Charedim, he comments, he has a whole chapter on that Gemara, but Meharach the Yamim, and each one had a different Midas Chassidus. So he said, you see, from that Gemara, the idea the Gemara is trying to bring out is that in addition to the 613 mitzvahs that we all have to observe to the extent that we're able to, Kohanim have other mitzvahs, and Yisraelim have other mitzvahs, each one should observe all the mitzvahs. Everyone should have his own special, everyone should feel he has his own special mission in life. He has his own campaign. Each one should not just be satisfied by observing the mitzvah. Each one should take one pet mitzvah and try to observe that in a special way, in a specially enhanced fashion. Each person is unique. So each person it can't be that everyone just doing the mitzvah is exactly the same. Even if you're all from the same shevet, each person is unique. So each person should have his own way to observe shmiras mitzvahs. But generally speaking, the Rosh Hashanah wanted at least there should be Yud Bei Shvatim. That's the variety that he required. So this is the bulk of today's Seder. It's all about the birth of the Yud Bei Shvatim. The Tur in Orach Chaim quotes a Medrash that the three Yamim Taisim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkos, somehow correspond to the three Ovis, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankiv. Yankiv Avinat says, Vayeshe B'sukkos, and Avram Avinat, Matzah Sofa, Vayachelu, Shoyin. Yitzchak is keneged Shavuos. Okay. And then he says that the 12 Rosh Chodashim are mechuvin keneged the 12 Shvatim. But this year there's a Shana Muberes, you have other Shenis. So he said that's keneged, what's her name? Dina. That she also was entitled to be a female Shevet? Shifta? I don't know. Shvata. So, but she was a girl, so she, once every couple of years, we observe a Rosh Chodesh for her too. She's also a Shtikala Shevet. She doesn't have any. She married someone, so whoever she married, she blended in with his shevet. But that's what the Torah says, that the Yud-based Rosh HaChodashim a mechuvin keneged the yud beishvatim, and other sheni is supposed to be mechuvin keneged dina. That there was a havamina that there should be a plan to have 13 shvatim instead of 12. The Gemara understands the pasuk in the beginning ba'yifka ba'mokaim as referring to tefillah. Every day when we start to daven, we say Elokeinu Elokei Avraham Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yankiv. Why do we mention in the Shemoneh Esrei Avraham Yitzchak and Yankiv? Because the Gemara says Avraham and Yitzchak and Yankiv were the ones who introduced the davening. It doesn't mean that they composed the nusach of the Shemoneh Esrei that we say. They didn't say Asamach Dover Avdocha Meheres Atzmiach, but Avraham Avinu introduced Shachris, Yitzchak introduced Mincha, Yankiv introduced Ma'ariv, and Ovis Tfilos, Ovis Tiknum. So we want to identify with those Tfilos that they introduced. So we start off Elokeinu Elokei Avraham. We want our prayers to be accepted as part of all the Tfilos of all of Klal Yisrael since the days of Avraham Avinu. Klal Yisrael doesn't only refer to the Jewish people who happen to be alive today. Klal Yisrael includes all the people who died as well. Whenever you bring a korban tzibur, so the Gemara kaparos atzibur. So the Gemara says, the pasuk says when you bring an egla rufo, so egla rufo is for the purpose of getting kapara. So the kohanim in that city, the bezdin of the city, has to bring the egla rufo. And then the Kohanim should say, Kapali Amchisol Shepadisa Hashem. Who is Amchisol Shepadisa Hashem? Sounds like the Yotzei Mitzrayim, the Jewish people who were taken out of Mitzrayim by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says like that. And Hoyrius, and the Gemara increases, it says, Ruya Kaparazu Shetachaper al Yotzei Mitzrayim. Egla Rufa is Mechaper al Yotzei Mitzrayim. What does it got to do with Yotzei Mitzrayim? You found the person who was murdered in Eretz Yisrael. We measured to the closest cities, and we assume the murderer must have come from the closest city. So that city is mukhiyav to bring an egla rufa. What has it got to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim? So the answer seems to be, whenever you bring a korban on behalf of the tzibur doesn't only consist of those Jewish people who are alive today. The tzibur of Klal Yisrael consists of all of the Jews from the beginning, from the days of Avraham Avinu till Bias HaMashiach. Everybody's part of Klal Yisrael. That's why the Gemara says that even though achatu shemesu by leho, you can't be makariv in the Beis HaMikdash, but that doesn't apply to a korban tzibur. Because the tzibur includes everybody. It includes the people who died and the people who are alive today. So it's never ein tzibur meisim. It's never called if the tzibur would only refer to the people who are alive today, and they don't bring the korban for another 70 years, and everybody alive today died by then, so it should be a meisa by la. The answer is no, the tzibur consists of all of Klal Yisrael from the days of Avraham Avinu. So Yankov Avinu introduced the tefillah of Ma'ariv. Ayivka b'amokam. Amokam means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ayiv ain't pegiya la tefillah. And we offer our tefillah, so we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our tefillah should be accepted along with all of the tefillahs of the rest of Klal Yisrael. We spoke about, it says, Avram Avinu was kaveh amokam la tefillosai. It says, he went back to Davin in the same location we had previously davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara Brochus quotes that pasuk, Asher Amad Sham Barishayno. He davened in the same location. So the Gemara says we should learn from that pasuk that we should always be kaveh makom letfilosai. And the Gemara says one who observes this din, it's a wonderful maila. And when he dies, they would eulogize him by saying, Hey Chased Hey Onav Tamid Shel Avram Avinu. So we mentioned, I think, a couple of weeks ago, the Tzlach comments on that Gemara. Why is this an indication of humility? Hey, Onov. Why is this humility that he always davens in the same place? So the Tzlach, that's a sefer by the Ner of Yehuda, on Brochus, a couple of other mesichtas. So the Tzlach suggests, if a person is a big shot, a Baal Gaiva, and he thinks that he's such a big tzaddik, he deserves that his prayer should be answered. So he doesn't need any assistance. He thinks that he doesn't need anybody to help him. So he'll offer a prayer now, and he'll demand the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his prayers have to be answered. If a person is humble, so he may feel, maybe I'm not worthy, my prayer should be answered. Maybe I didn't daven so well. So he'll want to daven in the same location where he always davens, that this tefillah should be mitzurev with all of the other tefillahs that he offered over the last 20 years, however old he is, the last 50, 70 years. this tefillah should be mitzdaref with all the other tefillahs that he offered, and he stands a better chance of having the tefillahs answered. So that's exactly why whenever we daven, we start off Elokeinu, Elokei Aviseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yankov. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should listen to our prayers. B'soch shat tefillah samcha Yisrael. Our prayers, we're not worthy that our prayers should be answered. Maybe we're not worthy of anything. We ask our prayers should be mitzurah for all the other tefillahs that the Klal Yisrael has been offering since the days of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankov. So we stand a better chance of having the tefillahs answered. The Medrash finds it problematic why the Malachim in the dream of Yaakov Avinu, when we would imagine angels, so we imagine angels live in heaven, as if the heaven is over there and the earth is over here. So if we would visualize angels going from one place to the other, we would visualize angels Yordim V'Olim. The angels should come from where they are, they're in heaven. They should come down. Then they should go back up. How come it says Malachim Olim Yordim? Why, the angels don't live over here. The angels live up there in the heavens, the way we usually visualize, the way we imagine it. So Rashi quotes one answer from the Medrash that Ki Malach v'Yisav Malach l'Shmocha b'chol derechecha, Kodesh Baruch Hu sends Malachim to protect the tzaddikim. So the Malachim, there are different Malachim in Eretz Yisrael, different Malachim in Chutz Loretz. There's more protection, there's more Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz Loretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Yaakov Avinu is about to leave Eretz Yisrael, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, don't be afraid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises he will give him a Hashgacha Pratis and Chutz Loretz also. You shouldn't only think that the uniqueness of Bnei Yisrael is only caused man there in Eretz Yisrael. Once they leave Eretz Yisrael, the religion doesn't apply anymore, or they don't have any longer Hashgacha Pratis. It's not so. When we go in Chutz Loretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. The Jews usually, that's called Golus Hashchina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that he's going to be with the Jewish people. And then we say in the Shabbos Digin's Miras, Yoshev lo nema ki mishov v'kibetz. The Pasek Novi says, Elasi lov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say he will bring the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael. V'shav Hashem al kecho eshivus HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return back to Eretz Yisrael together with the Jewish people. In other words, he himself is in Golus also. That's the concept of Golus Hashchina. What is that Golus Hashchina supposed to represent? So Lefi Pshuto, it represents this idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to give us a Hashgacha Pratis, special divine protection through all the years that we will be spending in Chutz La'aretz. We needed this protection, otherwise we would have disappeared a long time ago. So many of the Mekubalim explain this concept of Golus Hashchina based on the Din in Maseches Makis. In Perek Elohein HaGoylin, it says that one who kills B'shoigek has to run away to one of the Ori Miklot. V'nos elachas min ha'orim ha'el v'choy. He should go to one of the six cities, v'choy, and he will live there. It means that the Goel Adam is not allowed to start up with him in the Ori Miklot. So the Gemara understands, v'choy, he should live it up. That the Ori Miklot are not dreary locations. They're supposed to have museums and libraries, and they're supposed to have drugstores, and they're supposed to be a whole city. It doesn't just have 150 Hargim B'Shgoga. The Gemara said, shouldn't be too big a city. It's got to be a gigantic city. Then the police can control everything. Then the Goel Adam is going to sneak in and he's going to shoot him. He's going to make it look like an accident. He'll come and he'll kill him and run away. But it can't be a tiny little city either, because says B'choy, he has to enjoy himself. So you have to make it a nice, cheerful place that he should enjoy. He killed B'shoigig, he didn't kill B'mezid. So the Gemara says, part of making it pleasant for the Goel, for the Ratzech B'shgoga is Talmud Shagola, Maglin the Rabba Ima. If the person who killed B'shoigeg is a student of a certain Rebbe and he always attended that Rebbe Shir, so today you tell him to listen online. What's the problem? But in the days of the Tanakh, they didn't have YU's website, they didn't have all the Shurim online. So the din is the Rebbe has to go to the Ori Mikla to give him a Shir. It does mean that he leaves all the other students. It means that once a week he gives him a Shir or so. He has to cater to him as well. So the Rambam explains what's the drosha, because v'choy, people who enjoy learning, so if they're not going to have the Rebbe giving the shir, so the life is going to be dreary. It has to be lebedik, it has to be cheerful for him. So that's the halacha, that when a person is sent into Golus, Golus doesn't mean to suffer utterly in Golus. Golus is an Einish, but you're supposed to enjoy it in Golus. So that's the idea of Golus HaShechina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to be with you. And the Jews, most of the time, were very successful wherever they went. Jews always got to the top positions in government, and they always were making good money, and they always had beautiful homes, and they, even if they were poor. The Goyish farmers were usually poorer than the Jewish farmers, and Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Jews were dressed beautifully. And the Goyim, when the Nazis killed all the Jews, so a lot of the Goyim went into their homes in Poland, and they were digging up the floor to look for where the money is. They thought the Jews must have had a lot of money, because on Shabbos and Yom Tov, they dressed nicely. They dressed nicely. They didn't spend the money on beer and on schnapps. They spent the money on machol and on Shabbos and big day Shabbos and Yom Tov and so on. They enjoyed living. The Jews usually lived every so often there would be a Holocaust, something like that, a pogrom, and they would torture the Jews in an unbelievable fashion. But most of the time, Ruba de Ruba, of all of the years of Golas, we had the Shechina was with us, in Enoch Imoch, and the Jews were always pretty matzliach. So that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam told Yaakov Avinu. Ma'aseh Aviv Simcha L'Avonim. The Ramban HaChumash keeps on quoting from the Medrash Rabbah. Ma'aseh Aviv Simcha L'Avonim. So everything that the Avos did is a siman what's going to happen in the future. So Yaakov Avinu went into Golus. That was a siman. The Jewish people were going to Golus a lot. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with Yaakov Avinu, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be with the Jewish people all the years of Golus. That's the concept of Golus HaShechina. The Baruch Shalom is with us, giving us a special super Hashgocha Protis. And Yankiv took a neder, he's going to give Kol HaShetit and Li Aser Asren Oloch. Whenever he makes any money, he will give Maisa to Tzedakah. So this is the practice that is mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, that we give Maisa Ksofim. Not only is there a din that whatever grows in Eretz Yisrael, you have to be Mafrish to Magdala, Maisa Rishon, Maisa Sheni, or Maisa Rani, whatever year happens to be, there's a din if a person earns income, so he's supposed to give the Maisa Ksofim of what he earns. There are three different opinions that are mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. One opinion is that Maisa Ksofim is the Raisa. So that opinion we have not accepted. The quote, the Ravid seems to hold like that. The Ravid in his commentary on the Balamor, at the end of Chulin, seems to assume that Maisa Ksofim is a din deraisa. It's the Sifrei on the Pasuk Aser Te Aser is called Tvua Zarecha in Parshas Re'ei. Aser Te Aser, the Kefal Oshin, so it says, it's Marbi even Maisa Ksofim. So the Ravid understands that that's a din deraisa. Maisa Ksofim is a din deraisa. So that opinion is not accepted. So in the Taz in Shulchan Aruch only considers two possibilities. Is it deraisa or derabbanan? So he says, well, deraisa is out of the question. So in the Mele, it's derabbanan. The later poskim say there's a third possibility, that it's only a recommended midas chasidus. So that's basically what we assume. That Maisa Ksofim is only a midas chasidus, and it's a minik toiv that's recommended. And the Chafetz Chaim has a whole sefer that's called Ahavas Chesed, where he talks about many things in the area of Chesed. One of them is Maisa Ksofim, so he recommends. And others, other poskim write the same also. From the last 100 years, they write that the first time a person gives Maisa Ksofim, he should say, or at least have in mind, that is Bali Neder. In case 1 year he'll forget, he won't be able to afford it. So he won't, if you don't say Bali Neder, so if you observe a minik taif, then it becomes binding mitam neder. Minik tov is binding mitam neder midirabbanan. So let him make sure that he says b'li neder, so it won't be binding. But the midas chasidus to give ma'aseh ksofim is based on Yaakov Avinu, based on the pasuk here.
Is it only after he did it for 3 years, or is it after the first year also?
In Shulchan Aruch they say that if a person observes a minik tov once and he has in mind that he wants to continue it, so then it's binding, a minik tov is binding. If he observes a midas chasidus 3 times in a row and he wasn't thinking one way or the other, so then 3 times in a row is a presentation as if he plans to continue it, so that even though he didn't plan to continue explicitly, so 3 times, minik tov shana hakta latz mishalash pamim, also becomes binding. But if it's a minik tov that he did once and he intended to continue to do it, then it would be binding even though he only did it once. The Gemara has a comment on Aser Asren Oloch. Why does it say twice? I'll give Maiser, I'll give Maiser. So Yaakov Avinu is speaking. So you don't have to say Dibeter Kedushan Ben Yadam. It's a Ben Adam is speaking. You can say Dibru Ben Yadam, Beloshen Ben Yadam. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says one Meiser and another Meiser. We learn from this Pasuk. Hamevazveis, one is giving Tzedakah, Yevazveis Yosem Mechaymish. You shouldn't give more than twice Meiser. Because Shema Yayonevi, it's Tarech Labrius. If you're going to give too much money, you may become poor, you may lose all of your wealth, and then you'll have to go Shnoret Tzedakah from other people. So what's the Seichel? You're going to give away all of your money, you'll become poor, you have to ask others for a handout. So the Gemara says you shouldn't give more than Chaymish. Unless a person is a multi-billionaire. Okay, so if he's very wealthy, I give much more than Maisa. I teach him why you. So, very wealthy. So he can, if you can afford it, you should. There's no problem. Tosis points out, if you can afford it, you should give more than Maisa itself. The Gemara says, since the reason, the Gemara Ksuba says, since the reason is Shema Yayonim, it's Tarach Labriyos, so the Gemara says, it only applies Kolzman that you're still alive. Let's say a person is about to die, he wants to leave a Tzavor, that they should. He wants to give everything to Tzedakah. So to give everything to Tzedakah, not to give anything to his children, the Gemara says, is prohibited. The Gemara says that Yosi ben Yoezer was a Tana. He was one of the Zugais. He was the Nasi. Yosi ben Yoechan and Yishu Mishalayim. They mentioned in Pirkei Avos. So the first one was the Nasi. First one was the chief rabbi. Second one was the assistant chief rabbi. So he was one of the Zugais before the Churban Abayis. So his son was not a Tana. His son was a nice religious balabas who davened in shul 3 times a day, that's all. So he was so upset why his son didn't become a Tana. So he was mabanachla from the son. How much money did he have already? The $20 that he left Yerusha. So he gave all of the money away to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says he didn't have so much money. So he gave all the money away to the Beis HaMikdash. So his chaverim, the other Tanaim, said, you're not allowed to do that. He says, no, he's upset at his son. So the Gemara says, we don't paskan like Yosi ben Yoezer. He did shalokidin. You're not allowed to be mavanachli. You have to leave something for the children. That's a shala how much you have to leave, but you have to leave some significant amount for the children. So the Gemara says, but to leave to tzedakah, if the person is about to die, then he wants to leave it tzavo, he wants to leave more than 20% litzedakah. So the whole concern is shema yayani mitzdarech labrius. He may become poor, then you'll have to go ask for charity from others, but he's about to die, so there's no chashash he's going to become poor. So then the Gemara says it is okay. When one is leaving a tzavua, he's permitted to give more than 20% to tzedakah. The Chavetz Chaim in his Sefer Abbas Chesed quotes from the Kubbalim. He quotes from the Kubbalim, then he quotes the Birkei Yosef, was also, Chido was also in the Kabbalah Alat. So he quotes Birkei Yosef, quotes this from early on the Kubbalim, that the din is, if a farmer in Eretz Yisrael is supposed to give Truma Gedayla, and then Maaser Rishon, so Maaser Rishon was supposed to be exactly 10%. Let's say the farmer is very generous and he wants to give, instead of 10%, he's going to give more than 10% for Maaser Rishon. So the Gemara says, Hamar b'maisris, if you give more than 10%, Maaseris of Mikul Kolim. Because when you take out Maaser Rishon, so the Maaser Rishon is no longer Tevel, it's Maaser Rishon, but the rest of everything that's left is Tevel. Then you have to take out either Maaser Sheni, Maaser Rani, to take off the Yisr Tevel from everything else. So what if instead of 10% from Maaser Rishon, you're going to give 15%? Very generous. He knows the Levi down the block needs an Adovah. He sits and he learns. Shevet Levi is supposed to sit and learn in Paschal Shanos. Instead of just giving 10%, he wants to give him 15%. So the Gemara says, more than 10% is not Nitfas and Maaser Rishon. So the extra 5%, if you mafrish 15%, the 5% that's over and above the 10% is still Tevel. Then when you're going to be mafrish 10% on what's left for Maaser Sheni, Maaser Rani, that's only mata the Yisr Tevel on what's left. It's not going to take off the Yisr Tevel and the extra 5% that he gave to the Levi. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. Hamar be b'maisris, maisris of mikol kolim, you did wrong, because Tevel amaisim urav mzeh bazeh, and you did an avla to the Ben Levi. The Levi's going to be eating the stuff. He's going to think it's all maisim, and it's not. One third of it is Tevel. 10%. And the 15% that you gave him, said the 10% is Meiser, and the 5% is Tevel. So that only applies in Paris that grew in Eretz Yisrael, because you're talking about an Issa Tevel. Amani, what Shach Tevel? So the Chavetz Chaim quotes from the Mekubalim, many have such a practice, that when you give Meiser Ksof, you should give Meiser. Want to give more than Meiser, make out a separate check. But you should always separate Meiser. I never do it. But that's what all the Mekubalim say like that. should always separate these. You should figure out how much revach you made and then give meiser on that. And if you want to give more, that's a separate cheshbon. He took a neder, Vayida Yankev neder lemar. So the Rambam quotes this pasuk from Chumash to bring out a certain idea. Let's say a person wants to be magdish adova shelo boli yolam. He says, if I earn more than $100,000 this year, so whatever I earn over and above $100,000, I hereby declare as hegdish. I hereby declare it as tzedakah. So it's a dovish la bali olam. He didn't earn it yet. So the hegdish is not chal on a dovish la bali olam. So the Rambam says, even though the hegdish is not chal on a dovish la bali olam, but if he took a neder, I hereby pledged that if I learn more money, so a neder is binding mitam neder. So he's mechuyev to observe the neder. Yeah, this is a shaila. What happens if a person takes a neder? There are people who want to go to shul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. He gets an aliyah, Yom Kippur, whatever, psichas, nila, he opens up the Aron Kodesh, and he pledges to give $20,000, and then he drops dead before next Rosh Hashanah. He never gave his $20,000. So the shaila is, once he's dead, meisim chavshim. Let's say he didn't like tefillin the day that he died. So does it make sense that children should put on tefillin on a dead body? Once he's dead, he's dead. It's too late to do any mitzvah. So the father took a pledge to give $20,000 to yeshiva, to tzedakah, to whatever. He dies. So when they're going to give the money to tzedakah, they're not going to accomplish the kiyum ha-neder of the father. There are two types of neder. There's a neder ledvar hashus and a neder ledvar mitzvah. Neder ledvar hashus is nidri hashus are not a mitzvah. Let's say a person takes a neder, he's not going to attend the bar mitzvah. He's angry at his brother-in-law. He's not going to attend the bar mitzvah. So he did a neder, and then he doesn't attend the bar mitzvah. So he fulfilled the mitzvah. That's not a mitzvah. He didn't violate the iser. He didn't violate the avera. If he takes a neder to lidvar mitzvah, he takes a neder to bring a korban, he takes a neder to give tzedakah, such a neder lidvar mitzvah, that's a different parsha in Chumash. The parsha is nidri harishu is the beginning of parsha's matos. So then that's an iser. That nidri harishu is an iser. And nidri mitzvah, that's a kima mitzvah. Motzvah sasecha tishma v'yosiso, kashen adarta l'shem l'kech nadova, kashen dibarta b'ficho. That pasuk, that's a weird parsha's re'ei. So that pasuk, that's a nidre mitzvah. So if a person took a pledge and he gives the tzedakah, he took a pledge and he brings the carbon, so not only has he not violated another, then he has fulfilled the mitzvah as well. But if he took a pledge to give tzedakah, then he dies and he didn't give it, so it's too late. So the Yorshim, even if they'll give it, the father who died will not be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. The shaila is, do you say that nishtabdu hanechosim? That's the shaila. He's saying nishtab dohan echosim. When a person takes a neder to give tzedakah, maybe I should say amirasa la gavoya kim sirasa la hedya domi, and it creates a shiba nechosim. So even if the father dies, nishtab dohan echosim, and that tzedakah organization has the right to collect from the estate, to collect from the yorshim. So that was a dispute between Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Ramah. Yosef Karo lived in Eretz Yisrael, and the Ramah lived in Poland, but they corresponded. They had mail delivery. So you have Tshuvas and the Apkas Reuchel of Rabbi Yosef Karo, and you have Tshuvas and Ramah. They had a big dispute about that. So that's a big question, exactly how do we paskin? It's not 100% clear how we paskin halacha on that issue, whether Mirosol Gavaya by Tzedakah creates a Shiba Nechos. Many assume that it does. That it does create a Shiba Nechos. Yankov Avinu worked for his father-in-law for so many years, for 20 years, and then he runs away at the end because he heard the Malach gave him a report he should go back to Eretz Yisrael, Shival Eretz Avasechem, Alad Atecha, Ve'ei Ha'imach. So he tells his wives, Aten Yidatin Ki B'chol Kochi Avadati Es Avichem. You know that I worked honestly for your father all of these years. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Bav Metzia, who quotes this pasuk. We learn out from this pasuk that a person has a job, is mechuyev to put all of his best efforts and energies into the job. And even though, let's say, he took over the job from someone before him, the guy before him was half-baked. The guy before didn't know how to use a computer. He did everything by hand. and it took him forever to send out the 30 letters. I can send out 30 letters by pushing one button. All the 30 letters are already taken care of. Everything is taken care of. So, and I get the same salary as the other guy. And I can do everything in 1 hour. Whatever took him a whole week, I can do it in 1 hour. So am I allowed to waste time all week long and only put out 30 letters? I'm getting the same salary as the guy before. So the Rambam says you're not allowed to. You're mechuyev to work b'chol koicha. B'chol koicha does mean he has to go crazy. He's allowed to take, if he has to go to the Beis HaKisei, we will permit him. The Easter Kibbutz, there was one Rebbe in Tiferes Yerushalayim who was such a holy tzaddik that he would call up Rav Moshe to ask, is it okay if he goes to the Beis HaKisei? Rav Moshe gave him permission. Then he would joke, he would call back on the phone and say, Ashiyata, Rav Moshe would say, Amen. Then he would go back. It was a joke. You're allowed to have a coffee break once in a while. You're allowed to take a break to eat lunch, okay. But the Rambam quotes the Gemara, when the Poyalim take a break to daven mincha, they're not allowed to say Chazaras HaShatz. Chazaras HaShatz is only for people who are self-employed. People who are employed by others not supposed to spend extra time to have Chazaras HaShatz. The Mishnah Berurah says that Bizman Hazeh, we know that the Balabos is not makbid, and it's self-understood that we can make a Chazaras HaShatz also. But it has to be within reason. Not it's going to take off for the Chazaras HaShatz and the Daf Yomi and the Mishnah Yomis and the coffee breaks and calling his wife and everything. It has to be within reason. It has to be to the extent that you know the Balabas. If you know the Balabas, would not be makbid. This is a serious halacha. And even though he worked b'chol koichai, the Medrash quotes the pasuk im navor ti tavor im ikesh ti tapol. If you're working for an honest guy, you should deal honestly with him. But if you're working with a gangster and he's out to get you, he made a deal, Lavan made a deal with Yankov Avinu, he only gets dakudim nekudim of rudim. So he's not going to get anything. So Yankov Avinu is allowed to finagle and to negotiate, to see to it, the old dekolatzon, akudim nekudim of rudim. That's permissible. If you're working for a criminal, Yankov wasn't allowed to do any criminal activities. What he did was beheter, but it was gedreit. So the pasuk says, im ikesh titapol. If you work for a guy like that, if you're dealing with such a person, you have to act accordingly. You didn't even know that Yankov was supposed to be the Isha Emes, Titan Emes Liankov, but this is not a violation of Emes if you're dealing with a shakran, so you have to deal accordingly.
What does that entail exactly? How did Yaakov deal with the gangster without violating his principles?
No, it says he put the maklos, machsef halovan, he peeled the maklos to arrange that the v'yoldu kolatzon akurim the kurim of rudim, to make sure that he would not lose. So we mentioned before in Yankov's column, so he visualizes the angels going up and going down. So the Medrash finds that difficult. The angels we always visualize as living in heaven, so they should be coming down and going back up. So Rashi quotes one answer from the Medrash, that these were the malachim, ki malachim yitzav alach l'shmocha b'chol d'rachecho. There were different malachim going up and different malachim going down. The malachi Eretz Yisrael were going up, and the malachi chutz l'aretz were coming down to protect them to a lesser degree. There's less hashgacha protis in chutz l'aretz than there is in Eretz Yisrael. That's how the Gemara in the end of Ksubas points out, kol ador b'chutz l'aretz kilo ein lo eloka. When a Jew lives in chutz l'aretz, as if God is not with him, as when David HaMelech had to run away from Eretz Yisrael to hide in Chutz L'Aretz, he says, "Ki gershuna hayoyim mistapech benachlas Hashem lechavod elohim acherim." Who told him lechavod elohim acherim? The answer is, when you're in Eretz Yisrael, there's more hashgacha protis. When you're in Chutz L'Aretz, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, there's going to be hashgacha protis, but it's not going to be to the same extent as it was in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the pasuk says. Because there's less hashgacha protis. So that's the one pshat that Rashi quotes. Then the Medrash has other pshatim. What the malachim represent? Malachim olam yordim. So the Medrash has another suggestion that the malachim olam yordim represent the sorah shel kol umma v'loshin. Every nation has this. Is in Daniel. It's described like that, as if every nation has a malach, has a sar that guides its future. And malach and olam yardim is the same malach going up and going down. Each nation has a rise and fall. The rise and fall of the Greek empire, the rise and fall of the Roman empire, the rise and fall of the Third Reich, whatever. The rise and fall of every country has a rise and fall. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is going to be the third of the Ovis. He's going to have. He's going to be one of the founding fathers of this new Jewish religion. So he shows him each nation goes up and it goes down, the rise and fall of every nation. And then he tells Yaakov Avinu, now it's your turn. You go up the ladder of success. Yaakov Avinu is afraid to go up, the Medrash says. I'm going to go up, I'm going to fall down. Baruch Shalom says, you're not going to fall down. He says, no, I'm afraid to go. You showed me all the net. Everybody goes up and goes down. Baruch Shalom says, no, I'm going to hold your hand. You're just going to go up, you're not going to go down. That's what the Ramban HaChumash has a long arichas on this, that if you draw the chart of the history of any nation, so every nation has a rise and a fall. And if you understand history well, you can predict in advance when it's going to go up, when it's going to go down. If you know what's happening and you know the rules and regulations of history, you can predict the rise and the fall. And the Jewish people are lamayla min ha-teva. That's called Ein Mazal Yisrael. We are not tachas shlita sakachovim b'hamazolus. Any other country is governed with the rules and regulations of history except for the Jewish people. So that's what the Ramban says, that this is a nikkur and amuna. We are used to the Rambam list of 13 nikkuri amuna. There are more than 13 nikkuri amuna. The Rambam didn't mention Am Yisrael is the Am HaNivchar. That's not a nikkur and amuna. There are more than 13 nikkuri amuna. We're not sure exactly why the Rambam singled out dafka these 13 nikkuri amuna. Maybe there's some historical reason. Maybe these were debated over the years with the Muslims, with the Christians. Maybe that's the reason. But it's not Halacha Moshe Messina that it's only 13. There are more than 13 nikkuri amuna. So the Ramban HaChumash keeps on repeating that this is a nikkur and amuna. Whoever doesn't believe in this, ein lo chelek be'amunas Yisrael, that Jewish history is l'mayla min ha-teva. It says, v'yotze osachutza. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, tzei mi'itz tagnina sholcho. You're going to be the founding father of the Jewish people, av ha-mongoyim. You're going to be the father of all the ger ma'asidim le'hizgar, the father of all the Jewish people in the future. And the klal yisrael vayotze asachutza tzeimitz tagninu shelcha. Jewish history is lamayla min ha-teva. So if one were to draw a chart of the Jewish history, it would be zigzag. It would go up, down, up and down, up and down, up and down. When we observe the mitzvahs, we go up. When we violate averus, we go down. Ramban says that makes sense based on the rules and regulations of history. Doesn't make sense that if you observe Shemitah, you'll stay in Eretz Yisrael. If you violate Shemitah, you'll be sent into Golus to the number of years corresponding to how many Shemitahs you violate. It does make sense. Does make sense if you observe the mitzvahs, it'll rain. And if you don't observe the Yotzah HaShemayim V'Lo'iyah Motar, it says in Kriya Shema, when you worship Abed Zorah, there won't be any rain. When you worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there will be rain. But Derech HaTeva, that corresponds. It's L'mayla Men HaTeva. That's what the Ramban says. Jewish history is L'mayla Men HaTeva. So that's what the Medrash gives as one of the suggestions in this cholam. Then Yaakov Avinu says, Malachim Olam Biyordim Bo, the Malachim represent each one of the nations of the world, and each nation has a rise and a fall, except for the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Avinu, I'm going to hold your hand, and you're only going to go up, and if you go down, it'll only be temporary. Then there's such a similar medrash on the pasuk in Parshas Boy, Achodesh Azal Lachem Roish Chadoshim. So the medrash says the Jewish people have a lunar calendar. Ours is a hybrid. The Rambam says the years are solar years and the months are lunar. The years are solar years. We want Pesach to fall out in the springtime all the time, and we want the Sukkot to fall out in the fall. So if it's not going to work out, so the lunar year of 12 months is 11 days shorter than the solar year. So we have to, every couple of years, we have to add on another sheni to make sure that the years are shnos achama and the chadoshim achotshi halavonim. But that's how the Medrash says that the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar. It's only half true. The months are lunar. And the goyim count to the sun. So the Medrash has such an expression, the Ummah Sa'ilam, the sun rises and the sun sets, and that's the end of the story. So every nation has a rise and a fall, like the Medrash says over here, Malachim Olam Yordim, the rise and fall of every nation. And the Jewish people are like the Levana, because we count to the Levana, so we are similar to Levana, Shehem Asidim L'Hischadosh Kemoisa. The Jewish people are like the Levana. We go greater, 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 then we go down, then we go back up, we go back down, we disappear. The Levana disappears, and it comes back again. So the Medrash there on that pasuk, Achodesh Zelachem, details this. So the Medrash says, I think the Medrash points out, the moon on Rosh Chodesh appears, then it gets bigger, 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 till the 15th of the month, and it's B'miluo, and then it goes smaller, 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 till it disappears. The 30th day it disappears. So too, the Medrash documents that from Avraham Avinu, I think, till Shlomo HaMelech was 15 generations. Days of Shlomo HaMelech, he was the king over all of Eretz Yisrael, and all the Shvatim were all together. There was only one king, and there was a Beis HaMikdash, and everybody had more than enough parnasa. Everything, there was peace. There was no milchama. Everything was peaceful. That was like full moon. That was the best time. And this was the 15th generation, starting from the days of Avraham Avinu. That was the beginning of the Jewish people, till the 15th generation, when it was Levada Bishlei Musa, full moon. And then from the days of Shlomo HaMelech on, things started to get weaker. So Shlomo HaMelech dies, and Malchus Yisrael is split, and then as the generations go on and on and on, it gets weaker, 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 till 15 generations later, Enit Tzidkiyahu Iver. Tzidkiyahu is the last of the kings. So the Medrash says when they blinded Melech Bavel, blinded Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, that's what, like when the Levana disappears, when you can't see the moon. So if you're blind, you can't see anything. So the Medrash uses that as a mashal. Enit Tzidkiyahu Iver is like after the whole cycle of the moon, so then the moon disappears for 24 hours and then it reappears again. So Malchus Beis David disappeared and is going to reappear. The whole Bais Sheni, there was no Malchus Beis David. Malchus Beis David will disappeared by Enit Tzidkiyahu Iver, then it will reappear. Lasid Lavoi, Moshiach, Melech HaMashiach is going to be from the Malchus Beis David. Moshiach means that the Melech is going to have Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. Mashiach B'Shem and Mishcha's Kodesh is only the Malchei Beis David. The Malchei Yisrael, the other kings only have Mashiach B'Shem and Afarsman. That's imitation Mashiach. That's not the real thing. The Malchei Beis David have real Mashiach B'Shem and Mishcha's Kodesh. The Menchas Chinuch is not sure whether the Melech HaMashiach will really need Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha or not, because the Gemara says in Krisis, if he's a Melech Ben Melech, he doesn't need Mashiach unless there's Machloikis. Like Shlomo HaMelech Yarshin the Melucha from David HaMelech, but there was Machlekes. Adonia ben Chagis wanted to be the Melech, so there was Machlekes. So then they had to do Mashiach B'Shem and Mishchas Kodesh on Shlomo HaMelech. So Menchas Chinuch assumes, maybe naively, he assumes when Mashiach will come, there won't be any Machlekes. Who should be? Maybe he's right. Let's hope that he's right. So he assumes there won't be any Machlekes. So he'll, whoever the Melech HaMashiach will be, let's say Rabbi Chalap, descended from the Malchus Beis David. His father was not the Melech. His grandfather was not the Melech. Is that called Melech ben Melech? Because he got the Yerusha, he got the Malchus be Yerusha. That's called Melech ben Melech, so he won't need Mashiach. Or should I say, no, Melech ben Melech means if his father was actually functioning as a Melech. His father was not. There was already so many generations. 3,000 years ago was the last Melech from the Malchus Beis David. So maybe that's not called Melech ben Melech. So Menchas Chinuch is not sure why we refer to the Melech from the Malchus Beis David lost the love as the Melech HaMashiach. Will he actually need Mashiach? Or will be assumed, no, that's a Melech ben Melech. He got to be Rusha. And of course, he assumes there won't be any Machlekes. No Machlekes, there won't be any need for Mashiach. But this whole period is like the whole period from the days of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, any Tzidkiyahu Iver, till the Melech HaMashiach comes. This is like the 24-hour period that the moon disappears. The Gemara said, Chav Tal Choi Mechasi Sihara. For 24 hours, the moon disappears, then it reappears again. So as the Rav Soloveitchik said, the Haftarah Macha Chodesh, we just said the Haftarah Macha Chodesh last week, the Haftarah Macha Chodesh was chosen. Why didn't they pick a Haftarah when Pesach falls out in the middle of the week, when Shavuos falls out in the middle of the week? Why only Macha Chodesh? What if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? You don't have. Only Macha Chodesh. Why? Because there's no Parsha and Novi? We'll dig up a parsha. We'll find a parsha ready. So Soloveitchik said, no, he thought that one of the motivating considerations that the Chachamim had to institute the Haftaras was to be Mechazik the Emunah and Dios HaMashiach. That's when you have the bracha. Samcheinu Shemalkeinu Be'eliyo Anovi Haftach Malchus Biz David Mashiachecho. Then we say Magen David. Magen David is the bracha for the Malchus Biz David, for Melech HaMashiach. So he thought that one of the motivations to introduce Haftarah was to be mechazik the emun and be a Mashiach, and that's why a lot of the haftarahs have to do with Mashiach, with Malchus Beis David, with Shlomo HaMelech being appointed as opposed to Adoniah ben Chagiz, if it would have been any other son of David HaMelech who would take over the Melucha, then the whole Haftocha that Malchus Beis David will last forever would have not been realized. The Haftocha was only if it'll be, if the Melucha will go through Shlomo HaMelech. That's how the Rambam writes. The Melech HaMashiach will be a descendant of David, Mizera David, and Mizera Shlomo. That's what the Midrashim say. It doesn't say anything. What? Maybe a Chalap is from the Malchus of Shlomo. I don't know. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, I don't know, claims to be a descendant from David HaMelech. Someone said from a different son, not from Shlomo HaMelech. I don't know. If it's not from Shlomo HaMelech, then he's not in the running. Then there's nothing to discuss. I think they claim he is from Zera Shlomo. Whatever the story is. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought, that the reason why they chose that Haftarah Macha Chodesh, that the last 3,000 years since Einit Tzidkiyahu Iver, it's all Macha Chodesh. It's like the 24 hours that the moon disappears, and we know that it's going to reappear again. That's what the Medrash says, Yisrael Monim Lo Levana, because we're like the Levana, get bigger, 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 and get smaller, 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 and until it disappears for 24 hours, then it comes back again. Shem Asidim Aleschadish Kamosa, Lefer Aliyotzim Al Shem Kvam Achusa, he's saying the Kiddush Levana. So this whole Tkufa, since Einit Tzidkiyahu Iver, is all like a b'china of Macha Chodesh. When it's Taka tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, if Sunday is Rosh Chodesh, then they said, say that Haftar to be Mechazik the Amunah and Biyos HaMashiach. That was when David was hiding from Shaul. If they would have killed David HaMelech, that would have been the end of Malchus Beis David. So the fact that he survived, David survived. So that's why this guy Haftoche, that the Malchus Beis David will reappear in the future. The question, if they loved each other so much, so why did Yonason have to give up the Malchus to David? Let David give it up to Yonason. They're such good friends, so why did it have to go in that direction? The answer is because they all knew, they were told, that Malchus based David was going to be something special. So Yonason wanted this Malchus Hanam Cheres to be realized, to be fulfilled. That's why Yonason gave it away to David, not the reverse direction. The Pasuk says that when Yankif arrived in Choron, he saw Rochel, he gave her a kiss. What's he doing kissing this strange girl over there? It doesn't mean that he gave her a hug and a squeeze and a love and a kiss. Probably kissed her on the hand or something. Probably Darcheret. That's in many countries. Yesterday somebody came to meet me. So I said, Shalom Aleichem. So he kissed my hand. Asfardi. Okay. So that's how they do. So Mestama, that was the meetest Darcheret. Remember, Rabbi Gerelich was once giving a drosha. So he said, just like they started to manufacture then coffee without caffeine. So he said, just like the coffee without caffeine, there's a kiss without a kiss. It's a kiss. He kissed her on the hand or something like that. Doesn't necessarily mean that he kissed her like a husband kisses his wife. A different kind of a kiss. So the Pasuk says that he started to cry. What was he crying about? So Rashi quotes a whole medrash. He doesn't have any jewelry to give her. When Eliezer Eber Avram came to find the shidduch for my father, for Yitzchak, Alvinu, he came with jewelry and he gave everything. I don't have anything because, and he gives a gansa maisa, Eliphaz ben Esav came to kill me. Why kibrav? But Eliphaz was a Talmud of Yankov Avinu. He taught him Torah. So when he came to kill Yankov because kibrav, so Yankov said, Oni choshev kemei, so take all of my money, so you will be in fulfillment of kibrav. So it's a funny story. Let's say someone is a Talmud of mine for many years, and his father gives him instructions he should murder me, so he's going to fulfill Kibbut Av, and I'll have to give him the money. The whole thing is crazy. So that's what there's a famous drasha from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz on this, that you have Or B'choshech Mishtamshin B'Rabuvya over here. We have a mimer, a loshen in the Medrash, when you have Ma'at Min Ha'or Dorche Harbi Min Ha'choshech. If you light a little candle, it'll remove a lot of the choshech, but it doesn't remove all of the choshech. Sometimes you have Or B'choshech Mishtamshin B'Rabuvya. We have people who learn in yeshivas, so some of them get a lot of or, some of them get a little bit of or. So if sometimes a person gets a little bit of or, he can get a smicha from an Orthodox yeshiva, and a function like a conservative rabbi, because he has or b'choshech mishtamshim berbuvia. At the same time, the whole world is full of choshech. The Gemara in Bava Metzia comments on the pasuk in Baruch Hanafshi, Tosus choshech lihi loyla, The whole world is like loyla. It's very hard to figure out bein toiv l'ra. So if you only have mi'at min ha'or, is doicha harbi min ha'choshim, it's not doicha ol ha'choshim. You have to have harbi or ator, you have to have a lot of or to be doicha all of the choshim. So this Eliphaz was a character. He's worried about kibbutz, he wants to kill his uncle who's his rebbe, so the uncle gives him a pshatla, oni choshim kemei, so take away all of my assets, and you'll be in fulfillment of kibbutz. A person should try to have only or, shouldn't have any choshech. The Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz has another famous drasha on the pasuk that all of the shepherds gathered together to remove the heavy stone on top of the stone on top of the well in order to feed the sheep. So Yaakov Avinu did it all by himself. Usually this was such a heavy thing that you needed many people to do work together. And Yaakov Avinu concentrated hard and was able to do it by himself. So we know a lot of people, when you have a big Shas Hadchak, during the war years, people were running away from the Nazis. So the people still alive will tell you. They would jump over a pit that was so wide. How is it humanly possible to take such a jump? If you have a pole to jump, you can jump. How could they jump? The Shas Hadchak, you have koiches and you jump. You do things that are not so easy to do. So that's what the Ramban writes in one of his drushes, Hashem Svasai Tifet HaChafi Agit Tehilo Secha. So he translates Svasai, doesn't mean Hashem should open up my lips. Svasai Tiftach. Svasai means like Svas HaNohar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every person has limits, has bounds, what his kishroinus are. So we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should break open my bounds, I should be able to have more koiches than I have B'derech HaTeva. We have many more koiches than we think we have. If we just concentrate, people a lot of times think, I will never succeed. Who can learn so much Bahasmada? 4 hours straight. How can you learn 4 hours straight? If you try it a few times, you see it's not so difficult. How can you succeed to understand such a complicated Tosfos? If you work hard on it, your limitations will be, your restrictions will be broken, and you'll be able to accomplish more than you thought you were able to accomplish. That's when Yaakov Avinu had the koyach, because he saw this good-looking girl, and he saw that the mother's wish was being fulfilled. Parents said he should go to Haran and marry a girl from the family. And he says, this girl's gevaldik. So he has the koichas all on his own to take off the yevin. Okay? Good Shabbos, everybody.
Is anyone
interested in
this
right
now? Can you open your office and just put this in?
Yes. Okay. I should put this in?
Just put it under the desk.
Okay.
I was...